Hi, I'm Dan Barber from Blue Hill and Blue Hill at Stone Barns. You are listening to Food Fridays on the Leonard Lopate Show.
Now that it's finally beginning to actually feel like spring, we wanted to invite Tama Matsuoka Wong back. Tama has developed one of the most unusual careers around. She's a professional forager. That means she earns a living searching through the woods and meadows to find foods that most people either overlook or tromp on. She is the author of Foraged Flavor from Clarkson Potter, which was just nominated for a James Beard Award. And she joins us now to talk about some things that you should be on the lookout for that could enhance your food. I'm very pleased that you could join us again, Tama.
Thanks. It's great to see you.
Is it good or bad for weeds when the winter is cold and there's been a lot of snow?
Actually, I think it's good. I think it's actually good to have a slow spring because you don't have a huge hit where everything blossoms and then you have a frost and it kills it. So it's good, but it is a little too slow for me this year.
Well, have you been foraging through the winter, Canyon?
I actually, because this winter had strange cold and then warm spells, I was able to forage all through January, but then February sort of cut off.
You live in New Jersey. Are things you find there very different from what you might find in the New York area?
No, it's really pretty much the same.
So there are areas for the Northeast?
So this is kind of mid-Atlantic, and a lot of the things that I'm going to talk about, well, if we talk about it, are things found across the country and sometimes in other countries too.
Well, you've provided us with a number of recipes, including one for garlic mustard now we even have a photo of it for our listeners in case they don't know what to look for. And I'm assuming when I say garlic mustard, nobody has an idea of what they should be looking for. Other than you.
Well, it is an invasive plant, and a lot of people recognize it because they're trying to yank it out all the time. So it gets in kind of the edges of forest or the edge of things. And but the main thing is that we found that when it gets green. It starts off like right now it's a little bit slow, and it's kind of dark green. It starts off in the center and comes out around one central point. But when it starts to shoot up and gets light green and tender, that's the time it's good to harvest.
So you're saying most people just pull it out and then they throw it away?
Yes.
They don't know? Now, is it more like garlic or more like mustard?
I'd say it's kind of like a very mild garlicky taste.
It looks like a houseplant.
Yeah, I guess it looks like a houseplant. It's actually also very easy to pull out. There's no deep roots. It's like a little tap root.
So if I was looking for it, where would I go?
I think you can see it. Well, you can see it along roadsides, although we've talked previously about not picking along roadsides. But you can look to see when it's out and then go further in.
You don't want to pick along a roadside because
right.
of all the fuel emissions.
Fuel emissions, and you probably don't have permission. But you could find it right now we're planning a garlic mustard pull, and so if you talk to any kind of environmental center, or they will say, please come take it out for us.
Take it away.
Yes.
On the other hand, if you decided that you wanted to plant a garden of garlic mustard, could you do that? Do you just do one and let it take over?
Yes, I actually am not really recommending to plant garlic mustard since it is so invasive and will take over. There's plenty to find and that people want to get rid of.
One of the recipes you've given us is for garlic mustard eggplant dip. So do they work well together?
Yes, anything that likes a little bit of a garlicky flavor and it is good.
Another one is garlic mustard oil with red pepper flakes. Would that work well on lamb?
Yes. In fact, we've been having our Easter dinners, some people are talking about Easter, where we've basted the lamb at first with the garlic mustard oil, and then every hour or so take it out and baste it, and it gets all crinkly and has that crisp garlicky taste on the top.
Could you also put it into mashed potatoes?
Yes, we put it on mashed potatoes too.
What about dandelions? We've talked in the past about dandelions. Are they coming up yet?
They're just starting, so it's actually good so people can start looking for it now so they won't miss the season. So the greens are really good before it flowers, and when you can see the middle part is, again, light green and tender. You're looking for that texture.
And people have figured out that dandelions are good. You actually find them at green markets.
Yes, although I did notice that some of the ones you see are very, really, really large, and at least the chefs that I work with prefer the actual wild or ones that you find in your lawn better than the ones in the market.
Now, why is that? I've heard over the years that small often is better. Does small mean more intense flavor?
It's also the texture. It's less fibrous. It's more delicate. And sometimes, yes, it's younger. It has a nice, milder flavor.
And what do you do with them?
Well, I think read in some, I think the Yul Gibbons book, it says, you know, put it in a salad or something. You imagine this heap of dandelion leaves in a salad and trying to munch down on them. So I think it really tastes better when it's paired with something like a beef or something else, or when you have it in a salad, have it with a vinaigrette, which helps to kind of cut any kind of bite that there is.
And what would you compare the taste to?
I actually think, and for people who, because I'm Asian, it's kind of similar to that, a chrysanthemum leaf, like how people buy that, or a mizuna or something like that, where it's kind of tender and has a little bit of kick, which Asians love, that little kick at the end.
We're seeing a number of Asian vegetables being grown in this area in recent years. The snow pea leaves have, now people don't care so much about the snow peas because
it's
they
the
got
shoots,
the leaves.
Yes.
which is kind of, isn't that also called water spinach?
No, water spinach is something different. So I lived in Hong Kong for a long time. And I know the one Cantonese word which we're talking for, the pea shoots, because I ordered it all the time, called Dao Miu.
Yeah,
you can go to a Chinese restaurant and ask in season for Dao Miu, and they're going to stir fry it, and it's amazing.
But that's not a weed.
No, that's not a weed.
Too bad.
But there is something you can substitute, which is a weed. I would substitute Creeping Jenny for pea shoots.
What about chickweed? How would you describe that?
So chickweed is really mild, and it's really better to have the tips. Don't just pull it out. You have to think of it as a food and not just a sprawling weed. And just the tips, it's very mild. We think it tastes a little bit better slightly cooked.
Can people just go to the internet and type in something like chickweed?
Yes, definitely. There's tons and tons of photos, and we have a plant ID forum if people have questions about what ID.
And how would they find the plant ID forum?
Meadowsandmore.com.
That's your company?
Yes.
And they just would go, that's one word, Meadows and More?
Yes, Meadows and More.
No capitals?
No capitals. I think if you put the capitals, you'd probably still get it.
Now, I would assume that wild garlic is pretty easy to identify.
Yes,
where would
I
find it?
Talk about that, because it's out now and just in time for Easter. So I'm very excited that finally things are coming up. And I brought you a bag and you were smelling it, right?
Yeah. But it doesn't look like garlic as I know it.
No, this is, and I recommend people start because this is one of the easiest things to identify. And it is growing in your lawn literally right now.
Really?
Yes. It's very easy because grass, so you'll see it sticking up, and grass has flat blades. This is going to be round, but you don't even have to worry about that. You just break it off. And you will smell the garlicky smell, and grass does not smell like that.
So if you break off this thing in your lawn and it doesn't smell like garlic, throw it away.
Yeah.
But if it does smell like garlic,
bring it
into your kitchen.
And, you know, use it in the garlic mustard oil recipe or in a frittata or anything to substitute for scallions or chives.
Do weeds have several generations over the course of one growing
what
season?
What I've noticed, because I'm foraging commercially, I have to make sure I can have consistency and volume. So I look a lot to weeds, and they do have, a number of them do have a multiple growing seasons during a year.
The question a lot of people ask is, how can I know whether the weeds I'm pulling out of my garden can be eaten or should just be thrown away?
Well, I think that's why I tried to put together, you know, our favorites of things that you can, that are easily found commonly around you that you can eat as culinary delicacies.
My guest is Tama Matsuoka Wong. Her book, Foraged Flavor, published by Clarkson Potter, has just been nominated for a James Beard Award. Good luck with
Thank
that.
You.
She is the principal of Meadows and More, which she founded to connect people and wild plants and natural landscapes. And you can find her website at meadowsandmore.com. Should most of these things be cooked?
Actually, I think, looking at it from an Asian point of view, they do cook a lot of things lightly, though, not boiled three times. But some things, I think it depends on the plant. So the wild garlic, you can have raw, especially when it's very young, and maybe taste cooked when it's a little bit older.
And do they store well?
Yes. I can keep this. I have the bag in a plastic Ziploc bag that you can seal at the top. That will keep for a week to 10 days in the refrigerator.
By the way, we have a link to your website, meadowsandmore.com, on our show page at WNYC.org, in case people are too lazy to just go to the internet and look for you. Are people surprised when they learn that you went from being a corporate attorney to a weed forager?
Yes, they think it's hilarious.
Have you ever regretted leaving the legal profession?
No.
Because people make nasty jokes about lawyers, but I suspect they don't make nasty jokes about weed foraging.
People make jokes about foraging, too.
Now, what played more of a part in all of that, that your daughter had allergies or that you were a bad gardener and had a lot of weeds?
Probably both.
Have you ever gotten sick from eating a weed?
No, I've never gotten sick from eating a weed. I am, you know, I am a more risk-averse person, so I don't just go willy-nilly going around and biting things off the tree. I mean, I do know what it is first.
Because there are all of those fears about picking the wrong mushrooms. And is there any way to know when you see wild mushrooms whether they're edible or not?
Well, there are a couple that are not easily mistaken for others. And I mentioned less than a handful. But I think about 95% of mushrooms are not edible. So you're sort of, the odds are not that you're finding an edible one when you see, and some of them are quite poisonous.
How would you advise someone who is listening to this and says, gee, I'd like to try my hand at looking for weeds that I could eat?
I would start with a wild garlic right now. It's all over. And if you look for something, the things that are green right now, that's probably going to be one of them.
Well, one of the things that makes weeds attractive is that you don't really have to work hard at growing them. Farmers have to do all sorts of things, fertilizers and the like.
It's tough. Farming's tough.
You don't need any. Roundup, in fact, is working against all the things that you think we should be eating.
Yes, I'm always pleading with farmers not to round up anything so I can get to them first.
You did. So you're willing to go into a farm and just say, I'll do some weeding for you?
Yes, I actually have farmers that I collaborate with. I provide them know-how. So even though it might not be their main crop, they feel that they have a kind of risk management in between crops. And then I take their weeds.
Should we assume that these weeds have good nutritional value as well?
What they found, and I would like to look more into this, but what they found about these weeds is that they have incredible nutrition value.
Didn't you do a TEDx talk recently?
Yes.
We have a link to it, by the way, on our show page at WNYC.org. But can you tell us what you talked about?
I tried to talk, because it was just a broad audience, and you have only 12 minutes, so I just tried to talk about about weeds and how they're things that you can find around you, and they can really enhance your life and your eating habits.
So when I go through my garden,
yes,
as the weeds start popping up, and they always do, I should just go to the internet or go to your website and see if this is something that I'd want to eat. And if it isn't, throw it away.
Yeah, I would just start looking at the things as they're coming up, and before you just automatically think, oh, it's a weed, see what it is first. It could be better than the stuff you're trying to plant.
Well, nothing could be better than beautiful flowers.
Tama
Matsuoka Wong is the author of Forage Flavor, which is available from Clarks and Potter, and the principal at Meadows and More, which he founded to connect people with wild plants and natural landscapes. You can go to her website on the internet or find it through our show page at WNYC.org. Also, her TEDx talk, which will teach you an awful lot. And have I left something out?
No.
Okay.
So.
Well, thank you so much for being on our show again.
Thanks, Leonard.